Shalom and welcome to the UMJC Weekly Torah Commentary Series. I'm Rabbi Russ Resnick, Rabbinic Counsel for the UMJC, and this week we are celebrating Passover. Our reading will be from the Haftorah, Ezekiel 37. Why is this Passover different from all other Passovers? Many voices within the Jewish community have noted how deeply our observance of Passover in April 2024 is marked by trial and difficulty. How can we celebrate the season of our deliverance, Zaman Cherutenu, when over 130 of our brothers and sisters remain in bondage in the tunnels of Hamas? How can we celebrate new life and resurrection hope when Israel is embroiled in deadly warfare, when anti-Semitic words and deeds are proliferating on campuses and in the public square across America and around the world? But all this is not what makes this Passover different. Indeed, our Haggadah clearly reminds us, in every generation, they rise against us and seek to destroy us. I'm talking about another theme of Passover, highlighted throughout the Haggadah, which looks different this year. It's the mitzvah of remembering Passover, keeping the festival alive for all generations, as Moses teaches us in Exodus 12, "This day shall be for you Yom Zikaron, a day of remembrance, and you shall keep it as a festival to Adonai. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a festival." This mitzvah of generational transmission has always been demanding, but in recent years, it has become uniquely challenging. Telling our children and grandchildren a story rooted in ancient history and equipping them to pass it on amidst our culture of endless sound bites and breaking news flashes can be challenging indeed. And that's why Passover in this current generation is different from other generations. I recently came across a review of a new book called The Crisis of Narration by philosopher Byung-Chul Han in First Things, April 2024. Han contends that, quote, "narratives, formally constructed stories, rich with allusion and suggestion, open to interpretation by the community," and this is really like the Passover story, he says, "these narratives are disappearing." And the reviewer continues, "but one may object, isn't the world full of narratives? Don't people turn to their phones in search of Instagram stories? Aren't politicians always trying to construct a compelling narrative? Not so." He quotes the book again. "The more we talk about narration or narrative," Han cautions us, "the more we're alienated from it. The stream of pseudo-narratives one finds on TikTok, Instagram, or X are replacement calories for a narrative-starved mind." Han calls this development the inflation of narrative. And the reviewer goes on to say that these pseudo-narratives are a weak substitute for, quote, "the complex, allegorical, future-oriented, rich, and humanizing narratives that Han locates in the past." It's an apt description of the Passover story that we reenact each year in the Seder. So the inflation of narrative, I believe another every generation passage in the Haggadah can help us address its challenge. In every generation, let a person look upon himself or herself as personally coming forth from Egypt. As it is written, you shall tell your child on that day, it is because of what Adonai did for me when I came out of Egypt. This narrative of our deliverance is not inflated, but has profound substance and personal relevance. It's about far more than me, of course. Ultimately, it's about the power and goodness of the God of Israel, who is the God of all humankind. But this God seeks to bring each of us individually into his story, and did so most decisively in Messiah, Yeshua, who offered himself as the ransom for our souls, and rose on the third day during Passover long ago. This personalized element, this personal relevance of our observance of Passover is a key to transmitting it from generation to generation. All this ties into Sefirat HaOmer, counting the Omer, a custom that tracks the days from the present, Passover, season of our deliverance, to the future, Shavuot, festival of weeks, the season of the giving of Torah. It's a tradition of based on Leviticus 23, of looking toward the future, anticipating what lies ahead. And we're capturing it this year in the UMJC tagline for counting the Omer of Kadima, forward. As we are still in the first weeks of counting the Omer, I encourage you to join in if you haven't already, and you can download a guide to counting the Omer at the UMJC website, umjc.org. This Omer theme recognizes that keeping the Passover story alive from generation to generation means raising up a new generation of leaders, rabbis, teachers, worship leaders, members with leadership qualities. But if you've been involved in Messianic Judaism for very long, you know that we've been talking about the challenge of generational transmission for years. Thank God we can see a good number of younger leaders and committed members who've been added to our community or equipped within our community in recent years. In truth, however, the numbers are not yet enough to sustain a whole new generation and the generations beyond. Our Haftorah reading for this Shabbat, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, provides a clue to addressing the challenge of generational transmission. The reading opens as the Lord brings the prophet in the Ruach, the Spirit of the Lord, to a valley filled with dry human bones and asks, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel answers, "O Lord God, you know." It would seem impossible for these very dry bones to just start living. But the prophet has walked with God long enough to know that with him nothing is impossible, and he answers accordingly. And then the Lord hands this impossible task over to Ezekiel. And then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause ruach, breath, to enter you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." In context, in Ezekiel 37, the bones are the whole house of Israel, exiled and without hope in the graves of the nations. And Ezekiel is granted a vision of their spiritual reawakening and return to their own land. But Jewish readers over the centuries have also seen this text as a vision of the promised resurrection at the end of the age, one of the themes of the Passover season enacted in advance in the Passover resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. Comparing today's Messianic Jewish community to a valley filled with dry bones might seem histrionic or at least overly pessimistic. But my focus here isn't on the bones, but on the prophet. Ezekiel provides a twofold lesson example for us. First, in the face of the impossible, he says, "Lord, you know." Our ultimate hope is in God. In his grand scheme, even what appears hopeless to us, whether in our personal and family lives or in the morning news, may unfold in life-giving ways. And second, Ezekiel has a part to play in response to the impossible. The prophet tells the bones to live. In our modest way, through prayer, through financial support, and through deeply connecting with our younger generation men and women, we also have a part to play in bringing what might appear as a scene of dry bones back to abundant life. This Passover may be different from all others, but its age-old message of hope is still alive and at hand for our community today. as promised through the prophet, I will put my spirit among you, and you shall live. This is Rabbi Russ Resnick signing off and wishing you Shabbat Shalom and Hag Pesach Sameach, a joyful and hope-filled Passover. For more commentaries like this one, visit umjc.org/commentaries.